do you know the headlines in the papers and on the TV make it pretty clear to each one of us? Finally, in this nation, we've got hope. Apparently, the vaccine is the hope of the world. It's going to allow us all to live again, isn't it? Without fear of any death hanging over us. And the vaccine has become this nation's hope, as it's becoming Europe's hope and America's hope, a way out of what people see as a living nightmare. But whatever hope we might put in a vaccine, it is not the answer to all of our problems. It's certainly not a cure-all. And it's fundamentally true that no matter how many booster jabs you might have in your life, all of us are going to die of something sometime. The hope mankind can find in Jesus is far greater. It's a hope that Christians believe in fully. He is the true hope of the world. It's a hope that the sins that separate us from a holy God are dealt with by Jesus taking our punishment on a cross. It's a hope that those who trust in him and believe in him will never die, but will inherit eternal life. And when Christians talk about hope, they don't talk about an R rate or about possibilities or probabilities or about a maybe, but we talk about a certainty. It's a certainty based on a historic fact that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. And the promise is available to each one of us that if we will acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live in obedience to him, he will forgive us our sins. He will give us a new start. And he will, has promised that he will offer us the gift of eternal life. Now, this is really good news. It's far better than anything the BBC will be talking about today. It's real hope. But today I want to talk about how the first Easter makes it very clear to us that this hope is available not just to holy or religious people, but to ordinary people like you or me who have been through trauma. Their trauma was that the person they followed and had staked their life upon had been taken from them and had died. And they thought that that was the end of everything. Of course, they didn't know what we know, that Jesus was to rise from the dead. But this first Easter tells us a story of God's great love and grace for ordinary people, for failures, for people who mess up like you and me. We see in Jesus' interaction with these people at the first Easter, the way he also wants to meet with us after what has been a really tough and difficult year for so many of us. I genuinely believe God this Easter wants to meet with us. So the first Easter, Jesus met people who were really struggling. And if you look at the stories, particularly at the end of Luke's Gospel and John's Gospel, you'll see them. We've heard one of them or two of them today. The first person he seems to meet is Mary. She is a broken woman. She is suffering from bereavement, real loss. She's crying her eyes out. She's crying her heart out. She's weeping at an empty tomb, a place where Jesus was buried, where it had all ended for her. And Jesus meets her in loss, meets her in bereavement. And actually, the amazing thing is, although she struggled to recognize Jesus in her pain and in her loss, he was there with her. He was there with her. And he was the one who spoke to her. He called her by name. Do you know, even in our loss and pain and bereavement over this last year, Jesus wants to speak to us. He wants us to know that he's there for us and with us in those difficult times. The next people we meet are two disciples on their way back home to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. For them, it was a matter of their hopes and their dreams had been shattered. They couldn't believe what they'd been told by Mary and the woman, that Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were walking away from the life they'd known, from their Christian faith. They were just going home. They said, we really had hoped that it was going to turn out different than this, but our hopes have been dashed, our dreams have been dashed, our desires have seem to have been shattered, and we're living in a massive disappointment. And Jesus walks with them. And he spends time with them. in their disappointment. And again, it's interesting, isn't it? Just as Mary in her sorrow and loss finds it hard to access and meet with Jesus, so these guys in their lack of hope and lack of, and disappointment find it really hard to meet with Jesus or recognize that he's there with them through it all. And yet he stays with them until they finally see the light and it dawns on them in a meal at night. He walks with people in disappointment. The third lot were later that night. They were the disciples. They were in lockdown, true lockdown. They were frightened. They were frightened of life. They were frightened of the world outside their door. They'd locked their doors. They weren't going anywhere because it's too dangerous out there. You never know what you might catch out there. You know, we're going to be in trouble out there. We're staying in. We're staying at home. But even in this barrier of fear that they'd erected, doesn't prevent Jesus from meeting with his disciples, and he comes in among them. He comes to them in their fear, and he speaks peace to them, and he breathes life into their fear. One of them was missing, though, a guy called Thomas. It wasn't just fear for him, it was also doubt. He had real questions and doubts about whether this was true. Could it be possible that Jesus could rise from the dead? You'll meet many people like this in our world. You know, well, you know, how can you believe such twaddle as the resurrection? And he said, look, unless I really encounter Jesus for myself and meet him face to face, then actually I am not going to buy this story at all. And the thing is, Jesus met him in his doubts, in his questions. Jesus comes to him. In each of these cases, Jesus comes to us in our doubts, in our fears, in our sorrow and our loss, in our disappointment, in our hopelessness. Jesus is coming to us. And then we come to the main man. We've heard the story on the video just before I spoke. Peter, you know, the great Peter. The voice piece, the leader, the tough guy. But he's full of shame and guilt because he's messed up big time. He is one big failure. At the crucial moment, just at the time when Jesus needs him, he says, I don't even know him. And he's swearing about it, and he's cursing about it, and he's just trying to be one of the lads, you know, around the fire, and just, you know, using the kind of language, coarse language of the day, you know. Basically, because he doesn't want to identify with Jesus, he wants to identify with the world. He said, I can't face it. It's too embarrassing to admit I'm with him. It's too frightening. What will people think of me? What will people do to me? For him, the game's over. The dream's over, and he's going back to his life as a fisherman. And Jesus again meets him on his own terms, on his own ground, and reminds him of his first calling when, after a huge batch of fish, Jesus called him to be a fisher of men. He thought it was all over, but Jesus told him it was just the beginning of the next chapter. Now think about these people, because they sound a bit like you and me, don't they? Doubts, fears, disappointments, loss, sorrow, shame, guilt, failure. And Jesus is the one who actually is taking the initiative and going to them and saying, it's not the end. It's not over. It's not finished. Remember this too. These are the very people, among others, who took the Christian faith into the world and who birthed the church that we belong to today. You are not disqualified from serving Jesus. Jesus comes to us as he did to those first believers. And he meets us in the state we're in, with our doubts, with our fears, with our uncertainties, with our disappointments, with our hurts, with our sorrows, with our shame, with our guilt. He wants to bring peace and restoration to our brokenness. He bears with us as we try to wrestle with those things until the truth finally dawns on us that Jesus hasn't given up on us and that Jesus is here and he's there for us, waiting. He wants to breathe the life of his spirit into us. The first Easter, we read of a stone that was rolled away from the tomb's entrance, and it reminds us, as a cartoon that's going around Facebook says, that Jesus He's the first guy to break lockdown. He basically, you know, lockdown wouldn't hold him back. He wasn't interested in social distancing. He came alongside, you know, pathetic, frail, failing people like you and me. There are no restrictions on his offer of salvation and the fresh start that he offers each one of us today if we come to him in faith. Hope. You know, if this year's taught us anything, it's actually not to put our hope in governments or even science or even a vaccine. A vaccine is not our hope. It cannot deal with our shame, our guilt, our fears, our doubts, our sorrow, our bereavement, our sense of hopelessness, and it will not prevent us from dying one day. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. He offers eternal life to all who truly will believe in him. And today I would ask you to put your hope in him also. Amen.